We ask you to touch his heart, bless him. Thank you for his incredible years of service to you. Thank you that he has dedicated his heart to your presence and to speaking from you. And so we just pray that your glory and your honor would descend even more upon us now, and that we would hear your heart and your blessings. In Christ's name.
Amen. God bless you all. I almost feel like the men's retreat all over again here. I got a gathering today of some of us has been there. During the worship time of what was going on today, Holy Spirit gave me a word, and it's an important word. And because we're going to be talking a little bit about Peter in the message today, but when holiness approaches you, Jesus was in a boat and he approached Peter, the Holy One. And we were singing about that. Holy, holy, holy. He is, he was, he is to come. When holiness approaches, maybe what Peter, a lot of us might experience that, go away from me because I'm a sinful man. The thing we need to learn is that when holiness is wrapped up with the personification of love, it's life-changing. When holiness approaches and it's so filled with love, then the direction is, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, right? Holiness, God's holiness is full of God's love. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, as we enter into this message this morning, Father God, I ask you, Lord, that you control my thoughts, that I will be speaking out of the throne room of God and the love of the Father and the full provision in Jesus Christ for all of us. Man, this morning, I'm wrecked this morning. It was amazing. It's almost like, we could say yes and amen. We've heard it all this morning. But God has something for us here. And, a bunch of years ago, I was at that Baptist church. And of course, I was the few members of that Baptist church filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was an elder at the church, and they had a great idea. They say one elder assigned per Sunday to go back in a little room and pray for the service and pray for God to work in the hearts of men, specifically at the altar call at the end of the service. So it was my Sunday. So I got back in that room. And you know what? Right off the bat, I went into the natural. Father, bring one or two forward that come to know Jesus. And all of a sudden, I was stopped in my track, and the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not enough. Well, Lord, bring five people today. That would be very unusual. And I was in this thing with the Holy Spirit. Said, no, that's not enough. I said, Lord, now I'm getting kind of frustrated. Lord, how about eight? I've never seen this ever happen at this church. That's not enough. I said, I felt like Father Abraham. I said, well, how about 10? We're okay with that. What I didn't know that Sunday was when the altar call came up, and it really never or very rarely happened at that Baptist church, 9 people came forward. And there was one in the back row that wanted to just leave the church. Holy Spirit spoke to her, and almost too late, the 10th one came forward. We have a wonderful God, man. Then the years passed, and I never expected to be a pastor, but God called me, And I accepted the call and I said, yes, Lord. And see, the God is the God of always the one. And I was on the way to church, all prepared, got it down. Driving down Milwaukee Avenue. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing from the Lord, taking orders from headquarters, scrap the message. I'll give you something to say when you get in front of the people. I said, Lord, you know, this is not really comfortable. But you know what? I learned that when I got born again and the prophet spoke over me, take orders from headquarters, I will accept what you're saying. And I will believe that you'll give me a word when I step up in front of the people. What I didn't know was somebody walked in the building that had never been there before. What I didn't know was what God spoke through me that day was for that person. And came forward and said, you are like speaking to me. And I want to give my life to Jesus. He's interested in the one. Even if he has to take you from 2 to 5 to 8 to 10, he knows what he's doing. Then came our farm retreat this year. And I'm all hyped up, man. I can't wait to hear from Kenny Allen. And he's coming in Saturday morning, and man, I'm ready. I'm in the receiving end. I'm going to receive. So he pulls up, and I walk over, and I said, good morning, Kenny. How you doing? I can't wait. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit was talking to me all night. And he said, you're supposed to be the leadoff person. So you guys that were there, spontaneous God speaking. And God used me, and he brought me to this story, but it was a different approach. I just kind of shared my journey. Then came Christmas time, and there was a little miscommunication. And again, I was called upon to come up before this church with a spontaneous message. You see what? See, God is using all of us, and it's a matter of being connected with him. It's a matter of knowing who he is and taking orders from headquarters and having that confidence in him, not confidence in ourselves, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at a 7-mile walk recorded in Scripture, which I kind of looked it up. Maybe it took a little longer because I used to walk the beach with a pastor in Florida, and we'd share things, and we'd be walking. And then every time he had to say something, he'd stop. And he'd say, and then we'd start walking again. He couldn't walk and talk, but it was really great, and I got to know this man of God, and God used him mightily in Florida. But you know, average, a 7-mile walk will take 2.5 hours. Man, to walk 2.5 hours with Jesus would be life-changing. So what does the Scripture say? He asked them. You know, questions are good. He starts his message out, he asks them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem that does not know the things that have happened in these days? Another question, what things? about Jesus of Nazareth? They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. They didn't have the complete picture. They saw him as a prophet. They saw him as a man that did great things. And they went on to say, and the chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he would be the one who is going to redeem Israel. Now here, I want to stop here for a moment. The Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning. You know what? There is no politician or leader or elected official that's going to save America. It's his people turning to him. See, they had a misconception. They spent time with Jesus and they thought he's going to be like a king like David. He's gonna throw the Romans out, and we're gonna see battle victories, and a misconception of the coming of the Messiah. Came out of a question. What things? And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb only this morning, and they didn't find his body. They came and told us, and they had seen a vision of an angel who said to them, he's alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found just what the woman had said, and they did not see Jesus. You see, you know, life sometimes can bring doubts, right? And even though a lot of these disciples have spent 3 years with him and him declaring who he was, they didn't completely get it. Even these men walking, and it's very interesting, one is named, the other one's not. You know, and I think there's a reason for that, because you know what? You don't have to be significant for God to love you. Hear that? You don't have to be someone significant for God to love you. All you need is to turn to him and receive his love. He said to them, when speaking to them, he said to them, how foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he exclaimed to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He had 2.5 hours to do that. I wish I was there to hear him opening up the truth right from Moses' writings, right from the very beginning when man fell, he made a promise. And I'm sure he went through Isaiah, that a virgin will give birth, and talking about a prophet and all, and just opening up these scriptures. We stop now and take 2.5 hours ourselves and start grabbing all this truth out of the Old Testament scriptures that declared who Jesus was and what was going to be about him. And you know, it's interesting enough, it says there's almost more said about his second coming than his first coming. And we have that hope that someday, the real one that's going to bring peace on the earth will appear. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as he was going further. You know, walking with him. See you guys. I've been watching the TV series, The Chosen, and it's really funny how he does these little expressions, you know, and we discover this alive Jesus that encountered people. So they said, stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went and stayed with them. Jesus will always stay with you and I. As we welcome him, he will always stay with us. And his answer will always be, I'll stay with you. When they were at the table, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. You know, and this church, you've heard me often. The time when we come together to do the communion part of our service will always be dynamic. Never routine. As Cal was saying, we're not going to be a routine church to just expect what we know is going to happen. Every time we take communion and remember that's dynamic, and it's a fresh encounter of Jesus. It's fresh and it's new every day. It's holding that bread and saying, yeah, he's the bread of life. He's my healer. He's my helper. He's my restorer. He's my deliverer. He's my provision. He's everything. And take a new, fresh look at that and say, when I'm taking communion, this is an amazing time. This is a dynamic time. It's nothing to go through routinely. And it was for these men, because that kind of triggered them to have their eyes open. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. The story doesn't really end there. They had just encountered Jesus. And I'm wondering when you and I on our journey of life, it's amazing it's 7 days. There's a lot of stuff in 7 years of tribulation. Seven is the name, perfect number of God himself. It's interesting that it was a seven-mile journey. It's a seven-mile journey. And I'm wondering about you and I as we are journeying with Jesus. Do we recognize that he's there? I think sometimes in myself, I think sometimes I feel that that's not the truth. But then I come to my senses and say, wait a minute, what I'm going through right now, he's present. He's present. Nancy and I, she felt this thing by her temple, and it grew a little bit and grew. And she said, Byron, there's something on my temple. And man, could it be melanoma? I said, Nancy, what are you talking about? Don't go there. Please don't go there. And I said, let's make a doctor's appointment. Let's find out what's going on. Let's find the truth. But Nancy, like all of us, and like myself, we'll have these moments of fear. And God has the answer to that. So when we woke up in the morning, and I couldn't believe this doctor starts our appointments at 7 o'clock in the morning. So hers was like a 7:45, and we got there. But on the drive there, to the doctor's office, I said, Nancy, obviously I can see you're in fear. And your father, I know, had skin cancer. But you know what? Because she was praying as we were praying as we were driving to the doctor's office, she was saying, Oh Lord, please take fear away from me. And I told her, I said, Nancy, yeah, I'm glad you prayed that. But let's step the prayer up. Because we can't stay there, Lord, take this fear away from me. But let's say, you know, it says in Scripture, make your request be known with thanksgiving. There's a very powerful thing there, that thanksgiving thing. So I said, Nancy, let's step it up. Let's say, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to live in fear. And it was a revelation to her. And she looked at me, she says, you just said that, and just peace came over my life. Yeah, I said, you know what? We don't have to plead to God for what we already have. But we have to take it up and thank Him when that part is challenged. And take it up and say, thank you, Lord. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, He will renew their strength. Oh, Lord, make me strong. No, no. Father, I thank you that as I trust in you, I'm strong. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not a victim, but I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just lack provision. No, I thank you, Lord, that you are my provider and you do a good job at it. You know, that's raising, and I've been talking about this church. God is raising faith in this church. Men and women that do not doubt but believe, and faith is increased. You know what? And that's a legitimate thing, because when you and I got born again, guess what the Father implanted in you? A measure of faith. And His intention is to grow it. Yep. So the story doesn't end there. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened up the Scriptures to us? God's still doing that in our life. He's speaking to us through His Word. It's very, very important that you and I know what God says. Because we're going to hear a lot of information what the world says. And we can't be overwhelmed by what the world says. We have to be men and women of God to know what He says. What He says. And that our hearts were burning because He was declaring to them the Word of God from Moses and all the prophets. Now, a very interesting thing happened, that they got up and they returned once to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, it's true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon. Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke bread. Now this is a very interesting, because God does not open us to the written word what happened at the resurrection. What happened? Now we know that He appeared to a woman first, don't we? Then we know that this is the day of the resurrection, Emmanuel. This is all happening on that day. At the resurrection, we know and we give an account of Him meeting a woman that and showing Himself alive and said, you know, don't handle me now, I haven't gone to the Father. But we don't have any record, because we also know about the two men they took a walk with. But somewhere between the two men, I mean the woman in the garden, and the two men, he personally visited Peter. And we have no record of that. There's no record of what that conversation, but all we know about Peter was he said, you're going to go in this denial phase, but I'm not going to leave you, brother. And we're not told in Scripture what that conversation with Peter was, but we know the result of it because he was the first one to preach at Pentecost. And it must have been, later on we know about Peter when he said, feed my sheep, and we know about that. But we don't know that this loving Savior showed himself to a woman, showed himself to Peter, and then the two men. And they all came together in that room saying, it's true. And in saying that, I want all of us to know at your darkest time when you think you've failed and he doesn't love you anymore, remember the story in Scripture that we don't know the whole detail about it, but this loving, holy Savior spent some time with Peter the day he rose again from the dead. Peter, the woman, and the two men. And later to hundreds. Which reminds us, what tells us a little bit about this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 and 8. For what I received, I passed on to you as the first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried. And he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter. And then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of whom are still living, though some of them have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James. Then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born, Paul. It's you and I follow a holy God that is passionately in love with you. Amen. And I'm just reminded that this amazing God is the kind of God that will never give up on you and me. Just as a father won't give up on his son, Sean, right? You won't give up on him. But we have that intensified with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. So God is, we're waving our worship leader in. Get them on in here. I am so honored. I am so honored to be a pastor of one amazing body of Christ. Nancy and I, as we drive here, we're excited about being with you guys. You guys are just full of faith, full of encouragement, full of love, and it's just an honor. It's an honor to be here and be a pastor. I'm back up. I never knew all that I was in for when I received the call. And I shared this one time. My call happen very early in my life. I just wasn't aware of it. At my baptism in a Greek Eastern Orthodox church, we're all there going to celebrate. And if you ever read up on this, it's really a beautiful service. It's like you're outside the church, you come in the church, you get changed, you put on new garments. It's really a beautiful pictorial thing that they go through. But here at the service, the priest doesn't ask the parents. They do infant baptism. They don't ask the parents the name of the child. They ask who the parents picked the godfather. So on my birth certificate, it said George James Alexander Barclays. When the priest looked at the godfather, says, "What's the name of this child before I drowned him?" No, just not. and he says, "Byron George." He said, "Byron George, I baptize you." My parents, what in the world just happened? They ran to the city of Chicago and had my birth certificate changed. Because they said, you know, if that's what he was baptized, that's who he is, not the name we picked. Now, it's very interesting. That's why I say, at when I was baptized way back then, the Holy Spirit saw my destiny and had a godfather change my name to the bear that guards the cottage. And really, and that's a place of every pastor, is to be that person that will go to the Father and for protection for the flock, for health for the flock, for provision for the flock, for restored relationships for the flock, and just be there and be there, that intercessor, that place of intercession for the people. But you know what? My life took a bad turn. And I went off in a really bad direction. And just totally living for the world. But my name was guardian of the cottage. Mm-hmm. When God found me, and I had that moment that I wept before him and I said, "God, I want you in my life." I love that Michael burning, that I've never forgotten that call when he called me. And then to make it a little shorter is Nancy and I were doing Wednesday nights and we're seeing people get saved, get healed, and all this crazy stuff was going on in our house. And Nancy was cooking meals for 30 to 50 people for 7 years, every Wednesday. But she had the grace for it, and she had the energy for it, because she saw the plan of God in it. Because God shared with us, "Nancy, you feed them food, and I'll bring people into this kind of fellowship. We'll feed them spiritually." And Jonathan and I would continue to pray for everybody, got saved and got healed there. And finally, the list got so long, Jonathan and I said, "We got to start writing these names down. We're going to just forget them. There's so many of them." So, because every Wednesday night, he'd come early, and we, by name, I was learning what it meant to be a pastor. By name, we were praying for all these young people that were being met by Jesus. And Jonathan and I would sit there, and sometimes he had to get there earlier because the list got so long. And we just get, "My name, Lord, you know them, you know them. God, bless them, bless them." And then God says it's time to be a pastor. And I kind of fought that a little bit. I was in my mid-60s. I said, "Lord, you got the wrong guy here. All the pastors I know are ready for retirement. And what's the deal here? I really think something's not right here." I'll tell you this, it's kind of funny, because I had this whole conversation. See, I got born again sitting on a toilet. I was sitting on a toilet when we were having this conversation. I said, God, you got to be kidding. You know, most people are ready to quit. And because, you know, we never ends our ministry and call to love Him and lead other people to Him. Then, it's like in the story here, when he rebuked him, he said, how come you didn't get it? Jesus gave a little rebuke there. His rebukes are always good, though. Always good. Encourage him to rebuke you. It's good. It's all good because he has all his best for you in a rebuke. So it's sunny out. So I'm sitting there quietly, and then I get orders from the headquarters. Byron, Moses, first 40 years in the palace, another 40 years in the desert. You know, he was 80 years old when I called him into his destiny. 60? I mean, come on. So now you all know I'm 78. I love him completely. I'm believing he called me into this ministry. And again, I'm blessed because of all of you. If I wasn't doing this, I probably would have never met all of you. And you all are such a blessing to me. Part of what energy I get is having lunch. You know, Brother Wayne will have lunch once in a while, break bread, and just having a dinner with Hillary. That was an amazing dinner. God was there at the table, wasn't he? It was amazing. We just shared life's messages and shared how much we're loved and our lives together, right? It was all good. So it's just never let the fire burn out. Michael knows that. We all have to know that. And he knows. He knows when our time is over. And until that happens, nothing can get in the way. Nothing. Brother? I love this man, John. Do we get some new ones this morning?
No.
Okay, all right, okay. You know, John is a really answer to prayer because years ago, I would tell our worship leaders that, you know what? God's going to download new words, new songs, new melodies, and this church is all about dynamic. It's living. It's things are happening, and I love Catherine got stood up at that time of the service, and that doesn't happen very often. But we can be bold in this fellowship. Mm-hmm. We can allow the Holy Spirit to work for us, and so John comes all the way from the south up here, and he joins our fellowship, and. One time I was so blessed. He was leading us in worship. I said, what I'm hearing is so amazing. I didn't find out till days later that the Holy Spirit gave him that song just a few days before Sunday. Live, all of us, live in his dynamic, spontaneous, amazing love for us. Live there. Live there, and then you'll wake up every morning charged up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. It's for me, and I will rejoice in it. Amen. Amen.